Good morning. You're listening to The Blitz. I'm Kyle Amler with the guru, Chris Valina, and week one in the books. We've already learned a lot. We've learned that some coaches are just complete liars and that some players are, you know, pretty much who they were all along anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Yep. Question marks were answered. Some new ones arose, and again, a lot of teams went into week one excited with the team they drafted, and after week one, they're probably looking at the waiver wire and looking who they can trade away. Hopefully, no one panicked after 1 week.
It is amazing, though, that you can see these guys that are having these amazing preseasons, and you're thinking, this maybe this year is going to be the year, and then old habits, I guess, are hard to kick. And they just fall right back into what they were before.
Well, exactly, and that's something that there are reasons why you're in certain situations or you're going to get a certain amount of points. Not a lot of players come out of nowhere after being in the league a couple of years and just be an explosive player. They are who we thought they were.
Absolutely. This week's Thursday night game is the Patriots against the Jets. Geno Smith, he came out and he got a win. It wasn't the prettiest thing, though. The running game in New York is worse, I think, than what we thought it was going to be, but not as bad as the receiving game there. And the Patriots, you called it, man. Totally nailed Edelman as the sleeper, saying, guys, he's the only one that has any kind of rapport with Brady at all, so make sure you don't forget about him. And then there was, of course, the major injury to Vereen, and he's going to be out, 10, 11 weeks now.
Well, he was somebody who nobody expected to really do anything. It was all going to be Stephen Ridley, but a couple of fumbles, and Shane Vereen wound up being a guy everybody was targeting, probably be a waiver wire pickup. Now he's injured, and you know who knows if he'll have any fantasy value the rest of the year. I mean, one thing Jets can do is stop the run. They're pathetic on offense, and they have one of those defenses that'll, the game is close, and they keep it close to find a way to lose at the end of the game, kind of like the Steelers seem to do all the time. I don't see much of a running game for Stephen Ridley. There's some talk that Danny Amendola is going to be out. Aaron Dobson, who knows if he's going to be back in. I really thought he would have an impact, but late in the week, he was a scratch. Zach Sudfeld was a major disappointment. A lot of people, he was like one of the top pickups heading into week one. Everyone thought, see, that's why you got to watch. There are reasons why these guys aren't highly touted players. Everyone got Zach Sudfeld thinking they were getting Gronkowski.
Right, well, and we did warn him, too.
Yeah.
This guy's being held together with duct tape, and look at him. Wow, big surprise he gets hurt in this
game.
Well,
right. I mean, he's the flavor of the month. They listen to the news reports, and they listen to the wrong people. They got to listen to us. I can see this is a game where Tom Brady struggles. He's actually somebody I would consider, if you had a good option as a backup. I mean, I know it's risky to sit at Tom Brady, but with Stephen Ridley, with his fumble problems, and probably they're hesitant to be able to give him a lot of carries because of that, and the injuries to the receivers, I mean, just down the line, Amendola, Zudfeld, Dobson, the unknown factor, Kendrell Tompkins, and I think the guy to play again is Edelman. I think he's crafty. I think he had a huge game against the Jets on Thanksgiving last year, and I could see him having a big game. On the other end, Geno Smith, he has no fantasy value. I don't think any of the running backs have fantasy value. I think if you're struggling at a tight end, maybe you would put all your eggs in the Zach Sudfeld basket, and you have Kellen Winslow. He may be worth a start, maybe rejuvenated his career. But other than that, I don't see anybody on the Jets other than Kellen Winslow as a start.
Yeah, that running game, wow. A lot of hype coming in for Ivory. And again, there's a reason why. There were how many guys in New Orleans? And they were saying, fine, go ahead, you can go too. We don't really need you. So it's not looking good for his prospect in New York.
Well, we talked about that in previous podcasts. I mean, when he was running in New Orleans, he was running through gaping holes because nobody plays the run when they play New Orleans. They're worried about Drew Brees passing the ball. It's a lot different when you're the main guy and there's nine guys in the box because you have a bad quarterback and no weapons on the outside. He'll struggle.
And his injury history.
It's going to rear its ugly head at some point.
It already is, and he's already having problems. So it's just not getting any better for him. Arizona, the Detroit Lions. Woohoo! Reggie Bush. I was so high on him, and he did not disappoint.
Oh, he was a monster.
Yeah, he tore it up. He went crazy. Calvin Johnson was forgotten, though. He kind of was the forgotten man in that part. Pettigrew is exactly who we were saying he was before. He's a beast of a man, but he can't catch the ball. And Carson Palmer, amazing game. That entire passing unit in Arizona, it doesn't even look like the same squad anymore.
No. Now you're going to see the coming out party for Michael Floyd. You're going to see higher production, obviously. Elite wide receiver production, again, out of Larry Fitzgerald. Andre Roberts, who you like, is going to be in the mix. They're not going to be able to run the ball, and they're going to be behind a lot. So I really could see Carson Palmer just throwing 300-yard games after 300-yard games, multiple touchdown games, and the beneficiaries are going to be Floyd, Fitzgerald, and Roberts. I think Floyd becomes a really good fantasy player this year. Again, I like him a little higher on him than Roberts. I think he's a higher ceiling, and he's a first-round pick. Fitzgerald, he could probably get 100 yards and a touchdown every game. Detroit, you know, I kind of mentioned it a little bit before the season started, and again, it's only week one, and I think bringing Reggie Bush in was going to take away from Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, you know, you did say that. You said that over and over again.
And the other thing, again, and this isn't about me patting myself on the back, but I also said Joik Bell was going to have a big game and score two touchdowns, which he did. I still think they're going to use that formula. I think Reggie Bush is going to get a lot of catches out of the backfield. He's going to get 15 to 20 carries. Joik Bell is a big part of this offense, and he gets the scavenger touchdowns, as I like to call them. Joik Bell is absolutely, if you're in a deep league or a little weak on a flex player, you have an injured player, that now you're scrambling and you didn't listen before, now you may want to look into getting Joik Bell on your team if he's not, or if he's on your team in the lineup. Reggie Bush, a must start. I mean, he's not somebody we have to talk about. But the guy who had a big game was Nate Burleson. When you're focusing on Calvin Johnson and you're focusing on Reggie Bush, well, somebody's got to be open. And it looked like it was Nate Burleson. He's somebody who could have some value as a number three wide receiver.
There was a lot of times for everybody who didn't get to see this game that Bush and Bell, Joik Bell, were on the field at the same time.
And Joik Bell got the ball.
Right. Joik Bell, of course, as predicted, Bush was out wide and Bell was in the backfield. And also, for those who didn't get to see this game, Bush was tackled at the one hairline twice. So yeah. Joik Bell's numbers are inflated because of his two touchdowns that he managed to vulture in there. So Bush could have even had a bigger game than what he had.
Well, right, and that's going to be where Joik Bell is going to be valuable. He's going to be a goal line guy.
He's a big guy, too. Whenever they get inside the five, he's coming in, and he's going to be the guy who can push it in because he's like close to 240 pounds or something like that. He's a big guy. He's not a little man.
Well, I'll tell you, if Reggie Bush gets hurt or dinged up, Joik Bell is going to be something else.
Yeah.
Because he's going to get those catches, those runs, and the goal line.
Yeah, and I saw Wes Welker when he was in Miami, and I remember thinking at the time, this guy is amazing, and I never really went all in on him, and that's why I love Andre Roberts now, because I see Andre Roberts, and I see this guy who's so quick, he's so fast, he just gets in and out of there, and I just refuse to ignore, like I did when Wes Welker was in Miami, this guy's skill set of being able to just get open.
Yeah.
And with him getting open, he got targeted 9 or 10 times last week, and he caught 8 of them. He's getting open. He's getting the passes, like you said, with Denver, he's getting the passes that the tight end's supposed to get.
Yep.
That's Andre Roberts. So he could be a PPR gem this year.
I think all three have significant fantasy
absolutely.
Value.
Absolutely. Because they can't run the ball because we've already seen what they have in the running back. It's just, wow, bad. I mean, it's exactly what we thought it was going to be, unfortunately, in the running game. Is who cares? There's no point in even looking at any of those running backs there. In Cleveland, Brandon Weeden. Okay, Brandon, we know you got a strong arm. You can throw it very hard. We got you. A little disappointing in that offensive production. They look like they have a new head coach and a new offensive system.
Didn't really translate to fantasy value,
right?
I'll tell you that.
Yeah, and in Baltimore, Flacco, he's looking like the real guy out there, man. He really can throw it. And Ray Rice didn't have an amazing game. He kind of got a little bit of a disappointment there. And they have that rookie.
Marlon Brown.
Yeah, that Marlon Brown, is he somebody everybody needs to keep an eye on?
Well, actually, in my redraft league, somebody drafted him in the last round, Marlon Brown, and we were all like,
"Who?"
I didn't even know who the guy was. I've never heard of this guy, and I know pretty much everybody on every roster. And he was actually, we have one of those draft kits, and he had to be a write-in because there wasn't even a sticker for him.
Oh, really?
So, but again, I don't get all warm and fuzzy and tingly and ready to go crazy on a guy. They start him off of one game in a mop-up role. I don't see Baltimore blowing out Cleveland. So it'll be a good litmus test for Marlon Brown and guys like Dallas Clark and Ed Dixon and Stokely, because you know Ray Rice is going to do it, but they were down by so much. I just think that a lot of those numbers were inflated, so you have to keep that in mind. You can't expect that production every week. Same thing with Flacco. I don't look for him to have a humongous day against Cleveland. As far as Cleveland, Trent Richardson was a disappointment week one for fantasy owners like myself who had him. I see a bounce back thing. I actually saw a stat that he hasn't gone more than, he has never gone 2 games in a row without scoring a touchdown. That bodes well for fantasy owners who have Richardson. And the only other one that looks like he's got some fantasy value is Cameron Jordan. You had mentioned him. I was kind of let me see a little bit from him, but he was impressive.
He had an amazing catch in the back of the end zone. This was not a wide open tight end thrown to him, easy catch, like a lot of end zone targets for tight ends can be. This was I had to reach up and grab it and put my toes down into the ground.
Yeah, that was impressive. I did see that. And again, I don't see a lot of points in this game, so that's not going to translate in a lot of fantasy value, but you're going to play the chalk, Richardson, Flacco. I think Flacco is more of somebody's backup, but if he's your starter, you should get okay points from him. And obviously, Ray Rice is going to be in your lineup.
What about Dallas Clark?
Can't seem to hold the ball. He looked like a shell of himself out there on Thursday night last week.
They need somebody to catch it from the tight end position, unless that's going to be the rookie Marlon Brown who's going to maybe get those catches.
They have a good offensive line, so they need a pass-catching tight end. They don't need a guy like referring to Pittsburgh that he has to stay in and block because their offensive line's so bad. They actually need their tight end to be a part of the offense, which one of them has to step up. I'd wait to see how that shakes out before I start playing these guys. Don't look at the guys named Dallas Clark and think Peyton Manning numbers from 5 years ago. He's on the downslide of his career. He wasn't on a team. And the only reason he's on his team is because of injuries to Pitta and other guys they brought in didn't pan out. And it showed why. He had trouble holding on to the ball. Really isn't a factor in blocking. I would really hesitate to play any of the tight ends for Baltimore.
Carolina, Buffalo. D'Angelo actually didn't make me want to die. I mean, I expected much worse from him, so I'm actually kind of pleasantly surprised how good he did. But that defense in Carolina is for real, man. They are definitely going to keep this team in games. And Buffalo, this is another example of coaches that they're just feeding the misinformation out there. What happened to, I'm going to give the ball to CJ Spiller until he pukes. What happened to that?
Well, he's got to hold on to the ball. I think he fumbled, didn't he? Fred Jackson's a solid back. I remember pre-CJ Spiller, Fred Jackson being one of the best fantasy backs in the league when he was the guy. So they have a weapon. This is one of those teams that have an abundance of running backs, but are a little light in the receiving core. But you know what? I liked what I saw out of Robert Woods. He was targeting Stevie Johnson. This is a game where he could excel. EJ Manuel looked pretty good, made some good decisions, didn't make any mistakes. I'm not ready to put him in a starting lineup yet, but looking at Buffalo against this defense, you got to play C.J. Spiller. I would play Stevie Johnson in a deeper, deeper league. If you have to play three running backs, it looks like they're going to utilize Fred Jackson more than we thought. Get him in your lineup in a deeper league. If it's just playing two running backs, I'd stay away from Spiller, still the guy. On the other side, Cam Newton, at the end of the year, he's going to wind up having significant fantasy numbers, and I think he'll have a huge game this week. He's a must-start. I'm going right down the list, and I'm seeing a lot of people on this lineup that I like to start. I think D'Angelo Williams, the fact that he ran for 70-plus yards against what was to be a great defense, was encouraging for D'Angelo Williams.
Very encouraging. I could not believe he got that. I'm surprised they stuck with the run and actually kept giving him the ball.
Well, right, and he's going to start catching the ball out of the backfield. Like I said, and I tweeted out there, he's going to have a big first six or seven weeks of the season, so ride that wave. I recommend starting him against Buffalo. And Steve Smith, I mean, if I'm starting a team and I want a tough guy on my team, it's going to be Steve Smith. That guy just seems to still be productive. I say he's a must-start as a third wide receiver or flex player. So there's some fantasy potential in this game. But average defense is nothing spectacular. I don't even think Carolina's defense is that good. I just think Seattle's offense wasn't that good. I could see Spiller having a bounce back game and Stevie Johnson finding the end zone.
So Seattle's just struggling, trying to get their feet under them, still on offense. You think that is maybe a little bit of a mirage on the
I think so.
Good point. Now, Minnesota against the Bears. I'm so mad. I turned the channel for 1 second, and then I turned it back, and I missed Adrian Peterson run on the very first carry. I couldn't believe it. I flicked over, flicked back. I'm like, what happened? How did I miss this already?
Yeah.
That was just, as soon as he did that, though, I thought of you saying he's just a machine. And I'm like, absolutely. I cannot believe that right on cue, he does something like that. But, of course, his quarterback is still Christian Ponder. Can't seem to find anybody open. On the other side, you got Cutler. He's looking really good. And, man, he just kept feeding that ball into Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey. He even looked really good.
Well, amazing thing about the Chicago game, when they played Cincinnati, no sacks. Now, if you give Cutler time to throw the ball, which has always been the bugaboo for that Bears team, is their offensive line's always been like Swiss cheese. Well, they were going against a significant front four, a pass-rushing front four that didn't get to him.
That is amazing. I didn't know that fact because that
is
a great defense.
Zero sacks. which means a lot of time to stand in the pocket and throw the ball. So there's a laundry list of people on Chicago that I would say start. Cutler was more than likely drafted as somebody's backup. So I'm going to say he would be hesitant to start him unless he's your starter. I wouldn't say play him over one of the elite quarterbacks this week. But you have to have Forte in there. And watch for Alshon Jeffrey to get a little bit more in the mix. And look for Martellus Bennett. He got a touchdown last week. I think he's going to be a big part of that offense. So he's someone who may not have been a part of the elite tight ends, but by the end of the year, he may have some pretty good numbers. Maybe anywhere from 10 to 15th ranked tight end, based on the fact that Cutler, he'll find him. He'll find the tight end. On the other side, it's just Adrian Peterson, and then pretty much that's it. Greg Jennings didn't do anything. Cordell Patterson's still rookie, finding his way. Jerome Simpson had a big game, but I just don't see playing anybody but Adrian Peterson as long as Christian Ponder's
playing. Yeah, Jerome Simpson, what his reliability.
Right.
Is it like 10% reliability? I mean, how's is he going to repeat anything like this ever again in the rest of the season? Like
if they're behind.
Yeah, 10% chance maybe he will, though.
Yeah, I would say maybe. I like what I saw from him. It's probably a lot has to do with your keying on the run and your keying on Greg Jennings, which leaves him open. Defensive coordinators will figure out a guy like Jerome Simpson. We're not talking about A.J. Green here.
Yeah.
Right now, let me see some consistency before I say sit Antonio Brown or sit a Marquise Colston to play a Jerome Simpson. I'm not ready to say that yet. I'm saying if he's on your roster, be thankful he's there. Keep an eye on him for a couple of weeks. And then if he's still producing, you know, kind of like Cecil Shorts, let's see what he does for a little bit. Before you know it, the guy's strung together a pretty good season. Give it a couple of weeks for a guy like Jerome Simpson. But obviously, Adrian Peterson's really the only one I would play on that team. Yeah, I'm even leery of Kyle Rudolph at this point.
Yeah, Kyle Rudolph. Again, another guy who was hyped, and he's pretty much what he was last year. Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, I know you're super excited to watch this game.
That may have been one of the worst Steeler games I've watched in 10 years. They just looked awful.
Yeah, Pittsburgh, yeah, their running game, I mean, they basically kicked Dwyer out and said, see ya, we don't need you, and now they brought him back saying, please come back. That just tells you about how scary their running situation is right now. And Cincinnati, their offense, you called Andy Dalton being a guy that we need to keep an eye on to make that jump because of a guy named A.J. Green on the team doing so well. And this offense, man, they were just, they're all over the place, aren't they?
I think one of the things that I said is when they brought in those additional weapons for tight end, they go to two tight end set. That is going to make A.J. Green better, where, like I said, with Detroit, you brought in the weapons. It's going to take away from Calvin Johnson. I think A.J. Green at the end of the year is going to have to be the top fantasy wide receiver. It continues against Pittsburgh. They've had luck against Green. One game they held him one catch, 6 yards and a touchdown. But you're playing A.J. Green every week. The running back situation is still muddy with Cincinnati, as is the tight end situation. So really, Andy Dalton and A.J. Green are the only must-starts I see on Cincinnati. I think Andy Dalton is a top 12 quarterback, which means if you're in a 12-team league, he should be your starter. And I don't see any reason why Pittsburgh would shut him down. Now, as far as Pittsburgh, other than Antonio Brown, there is no Steeler I would say I would want to start, to include Ben Roethlisberger. He's going to get sacked 7 times in this game. If you have another option other than Antonio Brown, you may want to look at it, because I don't see much production out of anybody on the Steelers' offense this week.
Yeah, so it's going to be...
Oh, it's gonna be, it could be up.
It could be really bad. Roethlisberger is not a stranger running around trying to make plays, but man, he's going to have to really run around, I'm afraid, in this game.
Yeah, I'm actually hoping he can get through it without getting hurt.
Green Bay against Washington. Green Bay, they lost the game, but they put up a fight. They kept going and going and going. Rodgers putting up his numbers. Eddie Lacy, they did keep trying to run the ball with him. They didn't give up. Here's 3 carries and that's it. We're done. So they did keep feeding them. And on the other side, Washington, they just looked like they were shell-shocked right away in that game. They were like, what's happening? What is happening in this game? We don't know what's going on, as Philadelphia just was tearing them all over the place. But Alfred Morris, you know, he did okay. He's kind of salvaged the day by getting a touchdown.
Well, he had a couple of fumbles,
which
didn't help. I'm still saying, if you're in a deeper league, guy I would call out is get Roy Helu on your roster.
Yes.
In case the wheels fall off on Alfred Morris and it becomes Olandis Gary or Mike Anderson, I would say Roy Helu has proven in the past that he's a full threat. He can catch the ball. He can run the ball. They may need him out there more, because Robert Griffin can't run.
No.
You know, he's going to need to get rid of that ball quicker, and having your back out of the backfield being able to catch the ball is going to be huge. So you may see Alfred Morris's time diminish, especially if he's fumbling. Another guy I like is Leonard Hankerson. He was targeted a lot in that game. Again, it was a lot of chasing points at that point because they were way behind. Robert Griffin III, of course, I'm sure he's somebody's starter, and they're going to start him every week. Garcon, he's the number one wide receiver for them, probably somebody's number two or three. Moss is not really someone I would look to play. But keep an eye on Hankerson and see where he pans out because he may be the number two guy there, which could be a productive wide receiver as a number three or a number four wide receiver. Or
you don't
player.
Think he's a fluke then, huh? You don't think the old guy?
No, because you know, the guy just needs to stay healthy.
Yeah, that's what concerns me about him is he's not like it's his first year in the league or second year. But you still think he can do it, though, huh?
I do. Good. I think he could do it. I think he's the guy who wound up being the number two wide receiver there. Santana Moss is strictly a slot receiver now. Now, another guy I would look to get on your roster is Logan Paulson. Fred Davis gets hurt every year.
Yes.
If you're in need of a tight end, Fred Davis is your guy. If he's there, you may want to just keep an eye on Logan Paulson because when he had a pretty productive second half of the year when Fred Davis went down, and Fred Davis is going to go down, so you may want to look at getting him on your roster. Now, with Green Bay, they look like a different offense. They didn't look like that, let's just chuck the ball around and throw. They really tried to establish the running game. Eddie Lacy wasn't very productive. Finley wasn't very productive as I thought he would be. Jordy Nelson was. I mean, James Jones didn't even have a catch in that game. But you know what? I'm not on one game against a stellar defense going to start writing these guys off. I would pretty much say if you have a Green Bay Packer who's a starter on your team, who's a starter for Green Bay, they need to be a starter on your team. I think this is a game where they're going to come out and they're going to score 40 points. Washington's defense, the Eagles were all over them, thrown all over them. I think a lot of teams are going to learn from that. Maybe not at that pace, but no, you can throw the ball on that team. I can see a big game out of James Jones and Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson and Finley. I could see this is a 4 or 5 touchdown game for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, if there's a team out there that can put up some good passing numbers, like, hello, Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers are going to have a field day.
I agree. Yeah, I agree.
The Texans against the Titans. Okay, the Titans, I don't know. They're probably one of the most boring teams in the league at this point in time, aren't they? I mean, Sean Green, he trades over. He's a non-existent. The receivers are nothing to talk about. I don't really have a lot of things to even talk about with the Titans in this last game. But if you go over to the Texans, no Ben Tate. Not that much Ben Tate. A lot of Arian Foster. He did make a lot of appearances in this game.
Well, right. You know, that's why Schaub just never that elite fantasy quarterback because they have such a good running game. But he'll have those 3 to 5 big games a year. I watched that game with Tennessee, and their defense is the real deal. You got to play Foster because he's Arian Foster, and you got to play Andre Johnson because he's Andre Johnson. But I really would watch playing anybody else. I mean, Owen Daniels is probably a low-end number one tight end, but I'm not sticking a whole bunch of guys in there and hope it because they're the Titans that they're going to have big games. I think the Titans' defense is for real. I saw a lot of fast players on that defense. It's not going to be one of those, we're going to just blow out the Titans because they're the Titans. Now, speaking of the Titans, only guy worth playing on that team is Chris Johnson. Kenny Britt, I mean, I don't know what to say. He looks at times like he's, you know, going to be a superstar, and then he has non-existent games. They're a boring team on offense, like you said. But Chris Johnson is Chris Johnson, and he looked pretty good. And
I'm still worried about Chris Johnson. I still don't think he's... It's the Titans. It just doesn't seem to, they just don't seem to have it all together yet.
I don't think Jake Locker's a very good quarterback.
Maybe that's it.
And I think that's going to hurt the growth of Kenny Britt and Kendall Wright. If you look at the games that Chris Johnson had when Hasselbeck was the quarterback, he was a much better runner because you had to watch out for the pass. Jake Locker really doesn't throw fear into anybody. You know, they're going to stack the line for Chris Johnson now. With that being said, you stack the line, he gets one crease. He's gone, so he still has that home run factor there. If you have Chris Johnson, he's the kind of running back. I don't care what defense he's going against, you have to play him because he's always that one cut away from taking it 80 yards, and he has to have that. Last thing you want is seeing Chris Johnson run an 80-yarder while he's on your bench.
That would be very painful, I agree. Well, we've covered half the teams already in this episode. Make sure you come back a couple days. We're going to have part two of this segment here, okay, guys? For Chris Blaine, I'm Kyle Almer. You've been listening to The Blitz.
Good one.